The reading is John 3, 1 to 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born if he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but for you do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Thanks be to God for his word.
Well, we've just begun a series looking at how we can place evangelism at the core of what we're on about as Christians and as the church. And in our first week in a series, we were reminded that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the best and most important news ever. And this is because God has made forgiveness of sins and eternal life possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our sharing can be the difference in people's eternal existence, and there is nothing more important to God than people living with him in his heavenly kingdom. And so Jesus has passed on to us the responsibility and the authority to share the good news. And so far, we've done some groundwork before we even get to looking at how we do sharing or what we might say. And this week we continue to do so. Last week we looked at how we need to be continually fed on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the way we do this is through spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are any activity where we intentionally spend time with God and where we draw near to him. These can range from church services to Bible studies and prayer groups or home groups to personal quiet times. Any time when you are drawing near to God to spend time with him. Today we'll be looking at the importance of knowing the gospel inside and out. I remember sitting in a room at theological college. There was a group of us, all first-year ministry candidates. Every Monday was formation day. Instead of doing academic studies, it was designed to be a day set aside to help us be formed into ministers. This day was at the very beginning of our first semester. And as we sat together with one of our lecturers who was in charge of sort of running the session, he asked us this question. What is distinct or unique about the Christian faith from other religions? Now, I know that I can be a little bit over keen at sharing in group times. I know that that's something that I have within me. I'm one of those people who will, you know, put their hand up to speak quite often. So I have a rule that I make to myself that unless I'm feeling a real burning sense to share, I don't say anything. Because otherwise I would just speak way too often and stop other people from saying. So I thought, hold your horses. Wait to see what other people have to say before you start to, you know, put something in the ring. And so I did. And then there was silence. For a few moments I waited. And then waited. Started to look around the group. No one seemed interested in saying anything. I started to think to myself, this is a group of ministry candidates. And no one has willing to share any ideas. So eventually I did say something just about claims around Jesus' death and resurrection. And I can't remember the details of what was discussed. But I do have an overall impression that I remember taking from that, which was that everyone sort of was stumbling around and not really sure what was and what wasn't unique about Christianity from other religions. And I mean, it turned out that our lecturer really wanted us to really focus in on the Sunday school answer, which was Jesus. And obviously then going a bit deeper from there to explore what about Jesus exactly. Now, to be fair, a fair portion of the uneasiness was actually more the unfamiliarity of what other religions held as their central beliefs and tenets. So I do want to, that was really what was kind of making people not quite sure what to say. But it kind of reminded me of Nicodemus and his meeting up with Jesus, where Jesus says in John 3:10, "You are Israel's teacher and you do not know these things?" You know, that must have made Nicodemus feel about this more, I reckon. But this does raise the question, how well has the church taught the gospel when ministry candidates aren't confident in their understanding of the gospel? And this is an important point, because if people don't know the gospel well, then how can they share it? How can they explain it? How can they explore it deeply? Now, I'm not going to do this right now, but if I was to put you on this spot right now and to ask you to explain the fundamentals of the gospel to the person next to you, would you be confident? Would you be comfortable? Or would you gain a sense of uneasiness about having to do that? Now, if the answer is that you would not be confident and comfortable, that's okay. That's okay, because we all start from where we are, and we can sort that out. But each one of us does have to take on the responsibility of knowing and being confident in the gospel. Nicodemus did not know the first thing about the gospel of Jesus. He could see that. Despite the other Pharisees' dislike for Jesus, because he broke their rules and kind of upstaged them, Jesus must have been sent by God because God's power was at work through him. So Nicodemus goes to speak with Jesus in private. Jesus responds to Nicodemus by immediately confronting him with Nicodemus' lack of understanding of the kingdom of God and with how important it is for him to understand it. Nicodemus was very familiar with the idea of the coming kingdom of God as a Pharisee, but Jesus says something that was strange. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Now, the implications of this are profound for Nicodemus, because if what Jesus says is true, then for him, Nicodemus, to see the kingdom of God, he would have to undergo this being born again thing. And the consequences are equally profound for us. If anyone is to see the kingdom of God, they have to be born again. Nicodemus at this stage did not understand that every person needed to receive from God spiritual life in order to have eternal life. But this is simply what Jesus is revealing. None of us are born with true spiritual life. We have a spirit, but without it being connected to God's Holy Spirit, it is not truly alive. Just as we have a physical birth for our mothers, which brings us physical life, we need a spiritual birth, which brings spiritual life. And how does this spiritual birth and life come about? Well, Jesus explains. Firstly, he has to be raised up like the bronze snake in the desert. Now, I don't want us to get too deep into this, and because I want us to just keep us on the nice, clear gospel message here. So this means that the first step in having access to spiritual life is Jesus dying on the cross and being raised again 3 days later. Then, Jesus gives the best summarization of the gospel, I think, ever. It's John 3:16. And fortunately, you probably know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here we learn that God loves humanity, which is, of course, a very important point in and of itself. And it is out of this love for us that he has given us the amazing opportunity to not perish when we die, but to live on forever in the kingdom of God. How we take hold of this opportunity to be given this spiritual life is to live trusting and following Jesus. And so Jesus wasn't sent into the world to keep people out of heaven, to be a doorkeeper, because no one was getting into heaven. No one was getting to heaven without him. Jesus doesn't come to condemn because of our sin. Jesus wants to save us from our sin. And that's why he had to die. Now, in understanding these things, you pretty much will have the essentials of the gospel. And that's a great starting point. But having understood the basics, it's time to learn to master them. No matter what skill-based hobby you engage in, you will always find that there are essential basics, essential fundamentals to learn, which you'll always need to do. Once you've got a grasp of them, however, you won't stop there, because you'll need to continue to learn how to master these fundamentals and then go on from there. But you'll never stop practicing them, ever. Now, I can teach you, for instance, to give you an example, the basics of playing chords and scales on a guitar. The basics of strumming patterns and single string picking. But just being able to play a few chords and scales does not mean that you're fully equipped and skilled to put yourself out there as a professional musician. The more time a guitarist spends learning and honing their skills and craft, the better and better they will get at performing. And a truly wonderful musician and a truly wonderful musical performance is something anyone can enjoy. They have complex techniques and nuances, which brings their playing to life. And the thing is that you can watch an experienced guitarist play chords and scales, and although they're just playing the basic fundamentals, their comfortableness and familiarity with the instrument means that they can just do so much more than the average person can with them. The same is true with understanding the gospel. You can learn the gospel in 1 minute, but that doesn't mean that you'll be comfortable with explaining it in 2 minutes' time. Only by really immersing yourself do you become comfortable and familiar with it. And then you'll be better able to share it. And just like if we were a symphony orchestra, where we all had the responsibility to practice so we could play our parts, we all have the responsibility of learning deeper and better the gospel of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can play our part. And the reason for this is because you will be better able to handle sharing opportunities. You'll have more flexibility in the way that you can present it, and angles and perspectives you can approach it from. If someone needs to know they are loved, then you can share from God loves you angle. If they're guilt-ridden, then understanding forgiveness of sins and the removal of guilt offered by Jesus may be the starting place. And maybe someone will ask you a question in a slightly different way than you've ever heard before. But if you're familiar with the gospel, you'll be better able to give some sort of answer which might help in that situation. I think this was the reason why, as ministry candidates, as we went through college in that session, that there was so much stumbling to articulate the gospel when presented with the question of what is unique and distinct about Christianity from other religions, because it was asked, it wasn't just what's the gospel, it was asked in a slightly different way, what's unique about it from other religions, which kind of exposed, I guess, a lack of depth in the understanding of the gospel. Again, that's okay, because we all start somewhere and we all need to grow, as I have done from that time as well. It's very easy to get involved in all manner of church activities and never spend much time understanding the fundamentals of our faith and becoming familiar with them. Of course I know what Christians believe. So you read about Jesus sharing the good news, his ability to tailor it to individuals is unmatched, and for good reason. It's like watching a virtuoso warming up and playing scales and just being captivated by how they can play their instrument. To the fishermen, he spoke in fishing terms. To those familiar with agriculture, he spoke in farming parables. And here, in this encounter with Nicodemus, Jesus recognizes Nicodemus' needs and the way in. Nicodemus needs to both hear a clear message of the gospel, but he also needs to be challenged and even confronted with the fact that what he thinks he knows about God and God's plans is wholly, totally lacking. That he really knows nothing. And Nicodemus is confronted with the truth that he doesn't understand even the most fundamental aspect about seeing the coming kingdom of God and gaining eternal life, as revealed by the Old Testament prophets. And this is a high-ranking, a well-respected member of the Pharisees. But this approach enables Jesus to open room in Nicodemus' thoughts for him to consider some things which he'd never thought of before. Some things which he would even find hard to accept. Jesus can do this because he just has such mastery over his understanding of his gospel. Now, all of this must have sounded very strange to Nicodemus, who probably understood things quite differently. I mean, all Jews must live upholding the law, and one day God will send the Messiah who will give Israel independence and lead Israel into a golden era with not only the devout Jews following the law, but all Israelites, for all Israelites. Everyone will be inspired to have a heart that was like that of King David's, which sought to please God. But no. Sorry, Nicodemus, that's not the gospel at all. The gospel is that people must believe in the Son of God, who God sent to save them, and through believing in him, receive forgiveness of sins and a new spiritual life. Nicodemus must have to come to accept this gospel. And he must have. He must have come to accept this gospel. Because who else told John about this private conversation? Now, knowing this sort of short summary of the gospel, as presented in John 3:16, is very important. And there is nothing more important to know about our Christian faith. Everything else we know about God is based on these things and has to hold these things to be true. But I'm encouraging you to not only know John 3:16, but to sit with whole passages like John 3:1-21 and to soak in all the depth you can. And then talk about those passages with others and to explore them together. And then you'll be able to become familiar and comfortable with the gospel and confident in your ability to explain it. Jesus is depending on you knowing the gospel so that you can share it with others. Know that Jesus said and taught. Know what Jesus said and taught about the gospel. Watch how we skillfully use different parables and teaching techniques. Watching Jesus share the gospel is like watching that virtuoso musician warming up and practicing the fundamentals. He has such mastery of the gospel, and he could so easily and effortlessly change and adapt how he would share about it. And when challenged with difficult questions, he just knew how to answer them. So do your Christian faith scales. Become more and more familiar with the gospel. Because only then will you become confident in sharing it. So know the gospel. Know it inside and out, back to front. Become confident and familiar with it. And that way, when it does come time to sharing, you will be as prepared and equipped as you can be. Amen.